This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, July 1, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services is awarding millions of dollars to dozens of organizations supporting programs that prevent substance abuse among children. As WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, one of those organizations is here in West Michigan.
The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services is awarding nearly $3.75 million to 12 organizations throughout the state that support community-based programs helping prevent substance use among school-aged children. In West Michigan, Muskegon's Arbor Circle is receiving just over $199,000 for their mental health counseling, substance use treatment, and family services. According to Arbor Circle's 2025 Impact Report, the organization served over 12,000 clients last year, with 28% of those being children aged 10 to 17. 44% of Arbor Circle's funding comes from federal, state, and county dollars. In 2024, more than 1 in 5 publicly funded treatment admissions were for individuals who initiated drug use before the age of 17. These programs are funded through opioid settlement dollars. Michigan is slated to receive more than $1.8 billion from national opioid settlements by 2040. I'm David Limbaugh.
Dams are coming down to restore the rapids. In-river construction began Wednesday morning on the Grand River to bring back the city's historic rapids through downtown. WGVU's Dee Morrison has more.
After an 18-year community effort, the July 1st launch marks the official start of removing four low-head dams to restore the rapids. The timing complies with environmental regulations protecting fish spawning and controlling invasive sea lampreys from moving past the 6th Street Dam. Over the next few weeks, contractor Taplin Group will build temporary causeways to allow construction equipment to safely travel in the river, along with a cofferdam to prepare the site between Bridge Street and Fulton Street, known as the Lower Reach. The project will replace the dams with natural boulder arches and habitat structures. The goal is to eventually restore 30 acres of river corridor, improving fish passage and habitat for native species like lake sturgeon, while building economic growth along the downtown riverfront with expanded public access for recreation. Pending weather and river conditions, construction of the Lower Reach is expected to finish by the end of 2027. I'm Dee Morrison.
Grand Rapids Public Schools are asking voters to approve a sinking fund millage proposal on the August 4th ballot. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
A sinking fund is a limited property tax used for building maintenance, infrastructure, technology projects, and school security improvements on a pay-as-you-go basis. Unlike bonds, a sinking fund does not create debt or incur interest. Rather, the tax is collected annually, with all funds being reported on the Grand Rapids Public School District website. A state audit is also conducted annually to ensure accountability and transparency. The 0.95 millage proposal would cost a homeowner with a $300,000 market value and a $150,000 taxable value just over $142 per year. That's nearly $12 a month or around 40 cents per day. If approved, the proposal would generate around $7 million annually for the district. In 2011, voters approved a 1.0 mil sinking fund for 5 years. For GRPS. That expired in 2016. More information can be found online at grpsmillage.com. I'm David Limbaugh.
Grand Rapids residents now have a new way to file complaints, compliments, and comments about public safety and community programs. WGVU's Dee Morrison explains.
The city's Office of Oversight and Public Accountability launched a new online portal designed to streamline how residents interact with staff and address problems. Residents can submit a compliment or grievance about interactions with police or fire staff, challenge internal affairs decisions, and request help expunging criminal records. The portal consolidates six separate processes into a single accessible site, with built-in case tracking, deadlines, and a transparent audit trail. Nick DeReich, Office of Oversight and Public Accountability Manager, says it's easy to submit about an issue and then track the city's response.
So if you create an account when you submit your compliment or complaint, you don't have to, but if you do, it'll start in progress and then go to pending and through the steps of investigation. And those statuses will be automatically sent as we update the complaint or compliment. They get emailed to the account that you signed up for.
Residents can also propose training topics for public safety and request educational workshops for local organizations. The portal is on the Grand Rapids OPA webpage. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, another edition of the Your Dream is Our Dream podcast, but first, news from around the state. Michigan high schools don't have to include standardized test scores on students' transcripts anymore. That's under a pair of laws that took effect on Tuesday. Colin Jackson has more.
The new laws also end a requirement that high school upperclassmen take an essay portion of a standardized test. Republican State Representative Tom Kuntz says Michigan's public universities don't require those writing scores anyway.
The essay portion, it just simply wasn't used. So we had multiple colleges say we just don't need it. Stop paying for it.
Kuntz says ending contracts to grade those essays could save schools over $1 million, though the nonpartisan Senate Fiscal Agency lists the laws as having no fiscal impact on state or local government. Many education groups supported the changes throughout the committee process. I'm Colin Jackson.
Some so-called forever chemicals are declining in the Great Lakes after industries phased them out more than 20 years ago. That's one finding from a new study from scientists at the University of Notre Dame, who combined more than 40 years of data to get a big picture of how PFAS moves through the food web.
So anything we put into the Great Lakes will be there for an extremely long time, not only the water, but all the chemicals that it has. So we have to be very cognizant of how we treat the lakes and what we put into them.
Study co-author and professor Gary Lamberti says only the lower Great Lakes saw a dramatic decline in one PFAS chemical. Lamberti says their study focused only on the 6 most common PFAS chemicals, and there are more than 15,000 out there. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Sekia Bracey's Olympic hopes were dashed by a worldwide pandemic, but now she's teaching fourth grade at Mullick Park Elementary School and coaching track at Lee High. Joy Walczak from Kent ISD speaks with Sekia and West Michigan Teacher Collaborative Program Coordinator Morgan Daly on today's Your Dream is Our Dream podcast.
Welcome to the Your Dream is Our Dream podcast, where we celebrate student success one dream at a time. I'm Joy Walczak. Today I have Sekia Bracey, a brand new fourth grade teacher at Mullick Park Elementary School in Grand Rapids, who recently completed the West Michigan Teacher Collaborative Program. And Morgan Daly joins us too. She's the program coordinator for that program. Welcome to both of you.
Hello, good morning.
And hello as well.
I'm glad to have you both here today. Sekia, I'd love to start with you. Education has long been a part of your life. Who are your early influences?
Yes, I will say education has been in my life for a while, basically my whole life, my childhood, and it had a great impact of what I do today. And my greatest influence is my mom. She went from being a teacher and then becoming recently a principal. So,
tell us where your mom is school principal.
Yes, she's at Campus Elementary, a part of Grapis Public Schools as well.
And you also had a grandmother who was a teacher?
Yes, she worked at the college level, the elementary level, and all the above, so.
Yes. A lot of family influences.
Yes.
And what about your schooling, your own time at East Kentwood High inspired you to be a teacher? Because not only education was important to you, but also a really strong career in sports.
Yeah. So I went to East Kentwood High School where I was a track runner. I went there just because of their athletic program. It was very inspiring. My teachers there were my coaches as well. So I've always wanted to have that impact as well. They inspired me to one day become a teacher as well.
Fabulous. What happened after high school?
After high school, I ended up going to Purdue University on a full ride for track and field. And from there, it just went well overall. So,
your original goals were actually to continue your career in track and field. Can you share a little bit about what your goals were and how they ended up changing along the way?
Yeah, so I started running when I was 8 years old. I was a student at Grapis Public Schools, and my gym teacher introduced me to AAU track and field. I did AAU track and field and went to college for it. It was always my passion. From there, I end up really inspired of trying to succeed in track and field and go to the Olympics. That was my dream. Yes, that was my biggest dream, to go to the Olympics. COVID happened and things changed. I had a setback there, and my goal from there was to get my degree and go online and make sure that I graduate while the COVID and things were happening. So I tried to go back and run, but it just didn't work out just because I ended up having a cute son.
A son, cute son.
Amazing son. I'm very proud, and he's my reason why every day. So
Well, congratulations on your son and also an incredible career on the track and now in education, which is so exciting. Yes. You are part of the West Michigan Teacher Collaborative Program. I understand you started in schools not quite as a teacher, but in another support role. Can you share with us what that was?
Yes. I was very, very unsure at the time to go into teaching. So I always knew I loved being around students. I love being around people that inspire students and pour into students and give back to the community of students. So I started off as an interventionist at Kenwood Public Schools, and then from there I came to GRPS, where my mom worked, and she let me know things and created that opportunity for me as well, and I became a behavioral specialist, and I worked with a couple of students and teachers, and from there I realized I would love to understand the classroom and the whole child so that I can grow and help them be young adults and be able to function in society. So.
And that's where West Michigan Teacher Collaborative actually stepped in to help you out. How did you learn about the program?
So I learned about the program through GRPS themselves. They send out an email and they say, we have this program and we think you'll be a great candidate. We know you love students and we know you're passionate about growing in this level. So I end up applying, doing the interview process, very confident and realizing like, man, I love this. And I love the people that were there after the conversations. The staff, very welcoming, and I think that's the reason why as well that I wanted to do this program specifically.
And this program is unique. Morgan, tell us a little bit more about the West Michigan Teacher Collaborative.
Yeah, like this is a chance for people that have always wanted to get into teaching and maybe see this as a second career to now have the opportunity to do it. So many of our people have had different career opportunities or choices, and they always decide, I've always wanted to be a teacher, and this was their opportunity and chance to do that. The fact that we're able to pay for their tuition and they don't have to go into debt to be able to do this, and the fact that they can come in with a community to help them through, those are like two of the biggest components to help removing barriers into getting into the profession.
The community comes up again and again when we talk about our members who are now becoming teachers in our classrooms. That cohort is really special. Tell us about how our residents and members are put into a cohort to help them get through the entire educational process.
Right. Just thinking about the selection process, you know, we have usually over 100 applicants that apply, and they have the opportunity to showcase their skills. So they go through a one-on-one interview, a group problem-solving activity, and then a five-minute mini lesson. So they're able to showcase their skills and their potential. And then that way we narrow down like, okay, who are those top candidates, and then form them into a group. And not only are they interviewing together, then those finalists are moving to doing their coursework all together through Grand Valley and through our summer training that we do.
And they continue to support one another when they do begin their teaching careers, which is another great aspect of this program.
Absolutely. Like even our group chat that we have, our members are supporting each other on their own. They really see the value and the purpose of that cohort model. And so anytime anyone has a question, it's not like they're just asking a WMTC staff member. They're asking each other and they're leaning on each other.
The other thing that I understand about this program, you mentioned Grand Valley State University. It's really quite a flexible program, so people can continue working, and there's also an opportunity to earn a little bit while you're doing this. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so part of our partnership is not only do we have Grand Valley that is providing the teaching certification, but we also have our public school districts in Kent, Ottawa, and Muskegon County that say, hey, we have this great candidate that's been working in our school, and we would love to see them as a teacher. So they are the highlight in supporting that employee going through this program. They're a Grand Valley student, they're a district employee, and they are a WMTC member. So these people have like almost three titles in the back of their name, which it's like, who are you? You're amazing.
You are amazing. And Zakiya, you're one of the fantastic examples of amazing, successful candidates. What happens next for you? Where are you going to be placed in the fall?
So I will continue teaching fourth grade in my classroom, my beautiful classroom, with all my babies. I've been there with them for the past 3 years. I've been working at Mulek. So I'll continue this fall teaching fourth grade
How does that feel?
It feels amazing. I'm very excited. I'm very excited because this year I feel like I got all the support. I got the jitters out for the first year as a teacher. And so I'm just very excited to pour into these kids and give them all I have.
Lucky kids. Yes. We're happy to have you in our classroom for sure. Morgan, not only are people coming to you for this program from a teaching background, but it's really pretty eclectic. Your members are from all different types of backgrounds and have different kinds of degrees, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. To be a part of this, you need to have a bachelor's degree, and it can be in a non-teaching field. So I think that's really what makes our cohort unique, is that you have people from all sorts of different backgrounds, science, psychology, political science. So just think about all the different things that these people bring to the table, that they can be at a table and have a conversation and problem solve for students.
It's also about being able to relate to people in all different aspects of life. I know that some of the members I've talked to were former truck drivers, maybe ran nonprofit organizations, had backgrounds in business, or like you said, science or engineering. And now they're bringing those passions and also that expertise to our students to really inspire them. Sakaya, why do you think it's important for us as adults and you now as a teacher to look at those students and ask them what their dreams are?
I think it's important so that they are on the radar to know what their purpose is.
And Morgan, how do you hope to continue to help people like Sakaya make their dreams come true?
You know, I think now it's our members that speak to our program. I'm just here as a support, but really it's our members, seeing them as teachers, seeing them do this, talking to other people and encouraging them, like, you can also do this too. So, you know, I'm just here to help.
We're so happy that you are. And speaking of help, how do people get involved and how do you find out more about this program?
So you can go on our website, teachwestmichigan.org. And on that website, you're going to see a link to our application. You're also going to find some videos that you can get a feel of what our teachers are like and what our program is like. And I always encourage people, look at that. See if you see yourselves in those positions.
Thank you both so much for sharing what you have today, and not only for that, but for inspiring teachers and for becoming the teachers that our students deserve, the excellent teachers in our classroom. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we want to thank everyone for listening today, too. If you know someone who is dreaming big, we would love to share their story. You can find out more about the Your Dream is Our Dream podcast at kentisd.org and at wgbu.org. I'm Joy Walczak. The Your Dream is Our Dream podcast is presented by Kent ISD in partnership with WGBU.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, July 1, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.